We continue with the women's breakout session as we look at another fine print of marriage governance. This time we are looking at wife respects her husband. Wife respects her husband. Ephesians 5 verse 33 just captures it for us succinctly. Who wants to read that passage for us? Ephesians 5:33.
Become a Presbyterian.
Yeah, it looks like. Retna.
How have each one of you loved his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband?
Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Take a look at the key words there. What are the key words? Respect. Okay, well, there is love first for the husband, and there is respect. There is must. Must. Yeah. Isn't it interesting that God, the choice of word that God uses here? What are some synonyms of must? Absolutely. Compulsory, mandatory, have to, ought to, should, need to. So, let's see what it sounds like. And the wife should respect her husband, or ought to. If God says something is a must, what does that tell us about what he thinks about it? Serious business, right? Serious business. There are very few things that God says we must do. Respect, love for the wife, for the husband, the husband love for his wife is one of them, and the wife's respect for her husband is another one. And again, you find that among the most popular complaints husbands have has to do with this matter of respect. Yesterday we talked about submission, and related to submission is this matter of respect. So maybe in the hierarchy of the things that the husbands complain about, I don't know, maybe submission will come before respect, but respect is one of the big ones that the husbands complain about. And God says, it's a must. So it's something the husband needs, just as he needs to breathe, you know? Yeah, he needs respect. And if he can't get it anywhere else, at least, worst case, from who? From his wife. And if God says it's a must, that means that it's a legitimate need that God has placed in the husband, isn't it? Yeah. It has nothing to do with whether he's spiritual or not. It has nothing to do with whether it's not to do with whether you like it or not. We don't respect him because he's being a nice, good, faithful husband. We don't respect him because he's able to provide all our needs. No, God says we must. And he will never outgrow that need for respect from this most significant person in his life. I asked a group of young wives, because their memory was still fresh, if they could think of any time they were disrespectful to their husband during the dating days. None of them could think to remember any one instance. Instead, they told how they really made serious effort not to use the wrong tune, not to use the wrong word. And suddenly they get married, and all of that goes out the window, just as the men suddenly forget how to woo their wives. They were experts at it during the dating days. They did all the nice things. If you needed meat pie, they will ask you which one, Mr. Biggs, Tantalizers, you know, Chicken Republic, or, you know, chicken pie or meat pie, or, you know. You never heard I didn't have money those days, did you? No. So we reminded ourselves to bring back those days. And we said, these legitimate needs are difficult to wrap our minds around. So let's not try. Let's just do it because God says we should. What does respect look like? If you look at the synonyms of respect, it gives you an idea of what it looks like. Synonyms include regard, appreciate, pay attention to, recognize, esteem, reverence. Now, this one is the one that stopped me a bit, because reverence is something that we usually hear associated with God, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Admire. Years ago, I read one magazine, one of these socialite magazines. They interviewed one very successful lady, but she was single then, and in her 40s. And so the interviewer asked her if she was married. She said, no. Do you still want to get married? She said, yes. And the guy was surprised. He said, with all the success you've had in life and business, why do you still want to get married? You know what her response was? That she's discovered that marriage is the place where she could be nasty and get away with it. But God says wives must respect their wives and their husbands. This lady probably never read that passage, or didn't think, if she did, didn't think God meant what he was saying there. I hope we are not like that lady. Because you know that your husband won't strike you, right? Like some rascals might. You know he won't divorce you. You know he won't do any of the nasty things. So you think, yeah, I can be nasty and get away with it. Because he's a nice Christian man. Let's look at some signs of disrespect before we look at scriptures to... Criticism. If you're criticizing your husband, whether for good reason or not, you have a magnifying glass and are able to see every fault, every tiny speck on his shirt. The one that I find very common is wives belittling their husbands in conversations with the sisters or with family members and friends, or correcting him in public before the children, if you have children. That's one that many women have mustard, sarcasm. Right? Somehow we found a way to put ice into our speech. You know, ice can cut, right? Yeah. And burn him with it. And rudeness. Every mother knows, you know how it feels like when our children are rude to us. We are quick to pick it up, isn't it? Are we as quick to pick up when it has to do with us to our husbands? If your children are ever rude to you, could it be that it's because they have seen you do it to daddy and began to think it's all right? That's how we talk to one another around here, isn't it? So let's see what God's word has to say about this whole matter of respect. Proverbs 12 verse 4. Some names I didn't quite get, so I'll just stick with the names I remember. No fact. Proverbs 12 verse 4, Miriam 31 verses 26 to 27. Grace, Solomon's grace, yes, because there are three graces. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. I'm trying to remember your husband's name, Grace. Othman. Ah, yes. Okay, so you read Philippians 4, 8. Patience, you read Titus 2, 4 to 5. Linda, you read 1 Peter 3, 1 to 2. We're trying to look at what respect is like or is not. So are you ready? Verse 4. Another translation says, but she who shames him is as rottenness in his bones. One day my neighbors across the fence were quarreling, the husband and wife. In the space, the quarrel didn't last 5 minutes, but I bet you the words that they used on each other will last a lifetime. But she who shames him is as rottenness. The translation she read says cancer. You know what cancer is, like those of you who are doctors or married to doctors. Cancer eats the organs or whatever place it's infected. It's to destroy it. So showing disrespect to your husband, you are actually destroying him. You are sapping the lifeblood that he needs to go out there and conquer. But when you respect him, you know when somebody is, you know the way somebody walks when they are wearing a crown? Yeah. Yeah. So when you show him respect, that's actually what you're doing. You are putting a crown on his head. You're giving him bounce to his steps. He can go out there and face the world because of you. Proverbs 31, 26 to 27. How does she speak? With wisdom. Not just whatever you feel like You know, when I've seen husband and wives quarreling, somehow the wives want to have the last say. When I mean the last say, they want to dish out the most painful word. Until they feel they have done so, they won't keep quiet. But a wife who respects her husband, Proverbs 31 says, opens her mouth with wisdom. And the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So the words that comes out after she has filtered it with wisdom will be kind words, not words that hurt. 1 Corinthians 3, 13, 4 to 8. Love never fails. Always hopes, always trusts, always. Yeah. So, if you were to put your name anywhere there is love, will it be a correct statement? Will it? Almost. Okay. So that's good. So imagine putting your name and say, patience is patient. Patient is kind. Patient does not envy. Patient does not boast. Patient is not proud. Patience does not dishonor her husband. Patience is not self-seeking. Patience is not easily angered when in relation to her husband. Patience keeps no record of wrongs. Patience, you know, just replace, put your name there and listen and read it out loud and listen. Is it saying the truth about you? Because we all love our husbands, don't we? If you are impatient with me, you can't say you most likely act disrespectfully, isn't it? Yeah. Patience is a big virtue. It's a big virtue you need in a relationship, if it will be a respectful one. Kindness also. Humility is one. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Your husband may do a lot of bad things, but he says love always hopes, always trusts, always perseveres, always protects, giving him the benefit of doubt. Philippians 4:8. Okay. We are a product of our thoughts, isn't it? What they say? Yeah. What we think about will eventually affect what we do and say. So God invites us to say, whatever is true, pure, noble, and right, whatever is praiseworthy, excellent, think of these things. And if we want to apply that to our husbands, it means That's one way to avoid disrespect, right? It means that I'm thinking good thoughts about him. I'm waking up in the morning to ask myself, how can I show respect to my husband today? To think about the good things he does, the good things about him. We were reminding ourselves to learn the habit of taking note when we make our hair, because we spend a lot of time in the salon, isn't it? Some take us hours, right? Yeah, it's not fair that after you spend those hours in the salon and come home, and sometimes you even do things to make us notice, and somehow we just don't get it. It's not funny, is it? No. So, we need to wake up thinking true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper thoughts about our husbands, as a way to help promote, build that heart and attitude of respect. Because it won't just happen, especially because both of us are sinners. Remember that role play yesterday, meet my needs. Yeah, if we wake up with that mindset, and then you remember all the numerous unmet needs, it will be difficult to respect that person, isn't it? Especially when that person vowed to meet those needs. So it requires exceeding ourselves, going above and beyond ourselves to be able to respect this person in spite of all his shortcomings, because God says it's a must. He didn't say do it if he is loving you. You will wish that's the way he put that in Ephesians 5:33, right? But he didn't put it that way. He said the man must love the wife, and the wife must respect her husband. So we need to work hard at it, because respect won't just happen, especially in the midst of multiple annoyances. Titus
2:4-5. Okay. Titus 2:4-5. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Okay. 4-5. Yeah. Yeah, is the translation that she used. This translation says, so the younger women will be loving wives and mothers. Yes. Each of the younger women must be sensible and kind, as well as good homemakers. Who puts her own husband first? Then no one can say insulting things about God's message. It's interesting again that God links the relationship in the home with the gospel. When I told some people that, you know, God didn't create marriage so that you'll be happy. Somebody was really ready to fight with me. Say, yeah. Marriage is not about us. It's about who? It's about God. It's about the gospel. When you look in the Bible and see the number of pictures that the Bible uses to help us understand the relationship between in the Trinity, 7 out of 10 of them have to do with the family. Christ as husband, the church as bride, God as father, and Jesus as son, and all of those kind of word pictures. And all of that are words that we use in the family, isn't it? So when you see that, you realize that, hey, look, it wasn't all about you in the first place. Yes, it's true that he proposed and he said yes. And you said yes because somewhere in your heart you felt, this young man is going to make me happy. I really love him and he cares for me so much. True. But it's not about you. It's about God and his kingdom. And so when God says, the husband must love his wife, and the wife must respect her husband. He was not, yeah, we will be happy if we fulfilled our part, but more importantly, it is because of the gospel. And so, according to Titus 2, 4 and 5, one way to show respect for our husbands is to put his interest first. You may say, yeah, I've been putting his interest first, but all the while he's just been gobbling it up, soaking it up like some insatiable sponge. Keep doing it, because that's what God said you should do. He didn't say you should do it because he's responding well. But it would be good if he does. But whether he does or not, it's immaterial. But each one of us has a responsibility before God to fulfill the vow that we took. And that vow is the promise you made to God that you will respect your husband for his sake. So that no one can say insulting things about God's message. Imagine that couple I was telling us about, my neighbors, who in less than 5 minutes destroyed each other with words. Chances are that they are Christians. Chances are that the following day you will see them in church dancing and praising the Lord. And their Muslim neighbors, incidentally, it's a block of 4 flats. I think 2 of the flats are occupied by Muslims. So imagine what they would have been thinking about these, their Christian neighbors. And you know how it is that Muslims, anybody who is not a Muslim is automatically a Christian as far as they are concerned. Who puts her own husband first as a sign of respect? How do you do that? What are some ways you can show your husband respect by putting him first? It won't just happen if you don't sit down to think about it. If you don't make a plan for how to show your husband respect. Because in our selfish nature to have our own needs met, we can easily neglect the vow we took before God, the promise we made to God to care for our husbands. 1 Peter 3, 1 to 2.
1 Peter 3, 1. Wives, in the same way, commit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the belief of your wives. When they see the purity and reverence,
That reverence is come again. Remember, we were looking at the synonyms to respect, and reverence came up. And it sounded odd that this word that is associated with God is being linked with how we should view our husbands. And this time it is God himself who is using that word, not some dictionary synonyms that we looked up. Reverence reverence for our husbands is a responsibility, it's a vow, it's a responsibility we owe our husbands. A God-given responsibility we owe our husbands. That we can choose to not do it. We can say, oh no, I'm not comfortable with it. Or, oh no, I'm a 21st century wife. Obedience is one way. Yesterday we looked at submission and obedience. Obedience is another way in this matter of respect that we can show respect to our husbands. Because if you respect somebody, you take his words seriously, right? And if he says to do something, that we'll do it. That we'll do it. And he says, there's a way somebody will do something and you'll really be happy receiving it. There's a way somebody will do something and you wish you can turn it down. So he wants us, that's where the reverence comes in. That's where he talks about chaste and respectful behavior towards our spouses. In this case, towards our husbands. And so, as with every of these covenants, every of these fine print of the vow we took, we ask ourselves, if you are unwilling to show respect to your husband, who do you want to do it? Is there some sister somewhere that you are happy if they are giving your husband the respect that only you should be giving to him? If you will not do it, what alternative have you provided for your husband? Does he have any? What moral alternative? Because he might have, but there may not be alternatives that God will be honored and pleased with. Are we trapping our husbands in the prison of a Christian marriage? Because you know, oh, he's a nice Christian. In fact, he's a deacon or an elder in church. You know, he won't want anything to tarnish his name. One of the young couples we are helping in Lagos, that's the thing his wife uses to threaten him. I will destroy your ministry. Yep. If you don't want to do it, are you willing to free him not to do his own marriage covenant to you, his own responsibility to you, like provide or like meet your emotional needs or all the other, or whichever aspect of his own vow that you hold him responsible to, or that God holds him responsible to? Like the disciples discovered when Jesus unpacked this whole marriage covenant thing to them in Matthew 19. They said, it's better not to marry. Well, but for us now, it's too late, right? So we can't reverse the clock, but we can only recognize, okay, here and here are the areas that I need to step up, right? And do it. Because, hey, look, if your husband is unhappy, chances are that you yourself are unhappy. True or false? Yeah, the same way if you are unhappy, chances are that he himself is unhappy. Unless we have resigned ourselves, like I've heard many people, many, including Christian women, men can't be trusted, or marriage should be endured. Marriage doesn't have to be endured. God didn't create for it to be endured. So the question is, are you ready to get up and do the hard work you need to do to fulfill your marriage vows to your husband? The vow that you made to God, actually, that on his behalf you will do X, Y, Z for your husband. So as we close, I'd like to ask us to pull out our application worksheet. Let's fill it out here and now so that when we get back home, we can just discuss when we get the chance. Right? What is one thing God wants you to know? Or what is one thing God has reminded you in the course of the last 30 minutes of this conversation on the subject of respecting our husbands? It may be a reminder of something you knew before, or it may be a deeper understanding of something you have always known. What does God want me to be? When we know something, especially things from God's word, it always calls for a character transformation. That's the being aspect of it. What do I need to be? Who do I need to be to better fulfill this covenant aspect, this covenant aspect of my marriage? We saw in Proverbs how Proverbs 31, how she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teachings of kindness is on her tongue. Perhaps that's something you want to be wiser or kinder in your speech. Or as we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, about love being patient and kind and not envious and all of that. Perhaps that's one of the things you may want to consider. And finally, what does God want me to do? To know, be, and do. To know and not do is not to have known at all. That's what one philosopher said many years ago. So if you have learned something, then how am I going to put it to practice? Knowledge is useless if it cannot be applied to life, especially knowledge of God's word. So remember, we have said your husband's need for respect is a God-given need. You may not understand it, but God says you must do it. Because it's a God-given need, he will never outgrow the need for your respect. And we agreed that during courtship, we could hardly remember one instance when we were disrespectful to him. So what that means is that we can do it, isn't it? This need to respect our husband is not something strange, something beyond us. Because we knew, we did it before, so we can do it. And we said, whenever you feel like not doing it, stop and ask yourself, if I don't do it, who? Who do have I delegated to? But of course, when you recognize that this is a God-given responsibility, you realize that you have no right to delegate it. You have no right to delegate it. So, let's roll up our sleeves and work at it. Because God says we must. And when we do, we'll be happier for it, isn't it? We'll be happier for it. Because a man who feels respected will do anything for his wife. Yep. So let's pray. Grace, Moses, grace.